A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Nature Jobs podcast. I'm Julie Gould. Taking on a PhD in science isn't a decision that should be made lightly. It's a big commitment and often a labour of love, although that's no bad thing. However, before you start one, it's not a bad idea to find out what other people think about doing a PhD. Last month, Nature Careers has done some of the work for you, and it published the results of the Graduate Student Survey, where thousands of PhD students answered questions about what it was like to do a science PhD. David Payne, Chief Editor at Nature Careers, finds out more.
Every 2 years, Nature Jobs takes a global look at the life of PhD students by undertaking a very large survey. We ask dozens of questions about graduate students' hopes, their dreams, their ambitions and their frustrations. And then we present some of the key findings in an article for Nature Careers and attach the raw data for people to drill down into. Our graduate survey for 2017 delighted and surprised us. We had more than 5,700 responses from all over the world. So if you did take part and you're listening now, thank you very much. So I'm joined by Jenny Kedros, who's a research manager at Shift Learning, who helped us out with the survey. So I'm just going to start by asking you, Jenny, if I was about to embark on a PhD and I'm maybe a little bit nervous about the prospect, what main conclusions would I draw from the data?
I think you could be very encouraged by the data in the survey because overall PhD students at the moment are really satisfied with their experience and they're really enjoying their experience. They get a lot out of working in an intellectual environment. They're really relishing the intellectual challenge. When you're just entering into the first stages of your PhD, the students who are at their earlier stages are really enjoying the people that they're working with, meeting the new people and finding them really stimulating environment as well. The survey does reveal some slightly more negative data around the levels of satisfaction, which seem to be dropping rather as the students are going through their PhD experience. That's often around the expectations they have around the guidance that they hope they're going to receive. Most of all around their careers, they seem to be really happy with the guidance that they're receiving related directly to their subjects of interest, but they're not receiving the careers advice that they want further down the line where it becomes really important to them.
If I was a supervisor, what message might I be getting and what tips might I be getting from the data about, you know, things I ought to find out more about so I can better support them?
From the top line data that we're seeing, students are really looking for a lot more guidance around where their PhD could take them when they finish. There's a lot of anxiety about job insecurity when they've finished, and that's a real concern for them, and that's really likely to be contributing to these drops in satisfaction later on.
Anything that surprised you? We also asked about mental health, didn't we? And I think the figures initially looked very stark there, but tell us about those.
We found that there is a real concern amongst PhD students about their mental health as a result of their PhD study. So in the question where we asked them about what concerned them most, 28% did select that as one of their major areas concerned. Following that, 5% also selected as their very top area of concern. So that is significant, and it does suggest that there's an impact of PhD study on stress and anxiety levels.
So of the students that identified having concerns around their own mental health, and just looking more generally at the data, what sort of things do you think might be causing this concern and be leading to them being anxious about their PhD?
The survey findings did find some strong feelings among students that they were anxious about their work-life balance. Work-life balance was seen as a key driver to satisfaction that students were feeling with their degree, and it was one of the areas that they were actually least satisfied with. So that's something which is likely to be contributing to this feelings of anxiety and stress. There was also some signs that the hours that PhD students were working had increased since the timing of the last survey in 2015. So in the 2017 survey, fewer students were selecting the higher bands of hours they were working on their PhDs per week, and that possibly could also be contributing to the general feeling of stress and anxiety that they're feeling, especially later in their PhD journey.
And on a related note, we also asked for the first time about cognitive enhancing drugs, whether that was an issue and whether they were taken at routinely or at stressful periods. Tell us about the finding there.
Only a very small number of students were taking cognitive enhancing or smart drugs. 3% said they had taken them ever before. Within that, many of them were taking them at times when they were particularly stressed or when they had a particular deadline, or something, you know, later on in their journey.
Well, Jenny, that's been a fantastic sort of insight into the 2017 survey. And for those of you that are interested in actually drilling down into the data, as I said, it is attached to the careers article that we published last month.
Thank you very much, David.
That was David Payne speaking to Jenny Kedros. You can read more about the results of the survey in the article titled Graduate Survey, A Love-Hurt Relationship on the Nature Jobs website. And you can dig deeper into the results via Figshare if you search for Nature Graduate Survey 2017. Career satisfaction is a big driver behind many of our career choices, and yet it often comes when we least expect it. Jack Leeming, our Nature Jobs editor, had a chat with Juan Delgado, head sports scientist and applied neurotechnology specialist in the New York Sports Science Lab in Staten Island in New York. His career didn't quite turn out the way he had planned it, but he found another path, and that has had some big impacts on his work and his life.
So you use neurotechnological devices to help athletes improve their sports performance.
Exactly, and not just athletes. We do treat a lot of kids with autism and different developmental disorders. And that same technology that a lot of athletes can use, it can also be used with this kind of situation. So this kind of kids, they have problems with the developmental disorders. So the neurotechnology area, it's very broad.
Could you explain a little bit more about how that works?
Let me just give you an example. We use something that works with the same principles of music as a metronome. In a kid with autism, they do have a lot of communication problems. They have repetitive motion problems. They have social interaction problems. And those, a lot of them, the times, are given by the amygdala. The amygdala is an area of the brain that is controlling the emotions, behaviors, and motivation. A lot of the theories with autism is that they either have too much synapses, so the synapses is working too much, or it's not working at all, or it's working less. So what we do with these neurotechnologies is help the brain coordinate better those synapses by doing repetitive motions, by doing repetitive actions with that metronome. Another that we do is we use target match-based games. So they feel a little bit more comfortable, then they do this repetitive routine that is going to help them coordinate better with their brains. And it actually applies the same way with sports. In sports, everything is about timing, right? For example, you have a wide receiver who, if he doesn't actually time well jump, he's going to miss the ball.
I'm British, I'm afraid. You're going to have to switch analogies.
Oh, my God, you don't do those, right? Okay, so...
It's basically soccer or nothing, John, I'm sorry.
Only soccer? Well, soccer or nothing. Okay, so... If you have a penalty kick, right, and your timing is not correct, your shot is going to be either too low, too slow, too fast. You can do a Roberto Baggio and going all over the goal. It happens. Or you can just literally miss it. And it's not just for the kicker, but also for the goalie. If the goalie doesn't have good timing, it kind of they go from one side to the other. So when we do that and we do repetitive, actually directed repetitive exercises, with neurotechnology, we're actually getting that timing better. We help them to get a faster timing, a better timing. So their brain can actually connect in a better way. All the synapses from the brain connect in a better way with the muscles in what we call neuromuscular reeducation. I've had a lot of good results with athletes, for example, doing training and doing the timing training. And in terms of the autism, I also have very good results with people, with kids, different ages as well.
So I'm thinking there's two really extreme sides of the spectrum, I suppose, when you're talking about the work you do. You know, on one hand, you're helping athletes get better, but you're using the same technique as of course, we've been talking about to help kids with developmental disorders. And I'm wondering, you know, which one of those do you particularly enjoy? Is there anything you're especially proud of?
Well, I actually enjoy them both. When you're working with athletes, especially when you're working with young athletes, right? Young athletes, they come here to get an edge. They come here with hope. They didn't have the chances outside. And you give them those tools. You help them be better. You motivate them to be better. And they succeed. That's a huge reward for me. When you're talking about autism, you know how difficult it is, right? Kids with autism, they're not easy to deal with in terms of social interaction. Seeing a parent cry because the kid, it's not aggressive anymore, because he can actually start a conversation with you, remember what they did before, and wanting to be here, that's a huge reward for us, for me personally.
Of course. And it sounds like you found real meaning from your work. And I was wondering,
yes, I do.
Yeah, how did you start on that? Were you ever looking for this kind of job when you started off as a scientist?
I was working before, helping develop different techniques for reducing the time of recovery after a surgery, whether it's an ACL reconstruction or knee replacement in elderly people. I decided to come here to get a fellowship in orthopedics, and unfortunately it didn't pan out. But I discovered sports science, which is basically very, very close to what I used to do before. I started doing the sports science, and we started creating this sports science lab from scratch. I got my degree in biomechanics as well and neurotechnologies, so everything fell into place. It's like I was meant to be doing this job.
What advice would you have to other scientists to find a similar satisfaction in their work?
My father, he told me when I was a kid, when you love your job, you never work a day in your life. And that's true. A lot of the times, we as scientists, we want to be in a place where we can make money. You want to be in a place where you can be successful, you can be famous. That's okay. But you have to love what you do. You have to be proud of what you're doing, of all the things you see they're going well. And you have to learn from your mistakes as well, because not everything's going to go the way you want it.
That was Jack Leeming speaking to Juan Delgado. And you can read more about Juan's work and sports science careers in Smarter, Not Harder, published in Nature in September this year. And now on to our Ask the Expert section of the podcast. This week's question comes from a speaker at the 2017 London Nature Jobs Career Expo, which happened in early October. Esther Melio-Heras, originally a postdoc researcher and now working at Roche Partnering, wants to know more about how she can prepare herself for future careers.
Where is the market moving? What are we going to be looking for in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time, so that I could prepare myself to see, to be ready in the market, so that I am eligible as a candidate.
Our science careers expert for this month who will be answering the question is Dr. Nana Lee. She's an assistant professor in the biochemistry department at the University of Toronto in Canada. So, Nana, over to you.
Regardless of discipline, the best core competencies to be market ready for any candidate are 1, scientific thought leadership, 2, flexibility in the ability to learn new science and solve problems, and 3, people management, which includes networking. How do you prepare these skills? You can cultivate your excellence in your field, read widely from journals and company press releases, attend talks in and outside your research, talk to scientists in and out of your field, initiate collaborations with them, mentor younger students, take workshops on conflict management and negotiation, organize a group or a cause, start an initiative, become the whole scientist. So to reiterate, number one is scientific thought leadership, two, flexibility, and three are people skills. These skills, along with effective communications and marketing yourself, such as resume and cover letter writing, will empower you to be market ready.
What about those who are already in industry? Do those skills apply to them as well?
Oh, yes. I mean, you still have to, let's say you want to have a career shift, you still have to go outside the comfort zone of your box, right? And some people, even if they are in a first professional level, they may not be comfortable with conflict management and negotiation and leadership. So these are core competencies that you can work on forever if you think about it. But the more you work on them, the more broad your opportunities will become.
Thank you to Dr. Esther Melior-Heras for asking this month's question and to Dr. Nana Lee for answering it. Don't forget, if you've got a science careers question, we can help you find the answer. You just need to send your question to naturejobseditor@nature.com and we will do our best to find a science career expert to answer it for you in one of our future podcasts. But that's it for this month. You can follow more of the Nature Jobs adventures on the blog at blogs.nature.com/naturejobs, on the website at naturejobs.com, on Twitter at naturejobs, and of course on Facebook. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Julie Gould.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.